this.
Moving toward him.
Udviksham.
After seeing. Svaprayasam. His own attempt. Chav. And Nishphalam. Having failed. Durvasava. Durvasamuni. Adutruve. Began to run. Vita, full of fear. Dikshu, in every direction. Pranaparipsya, with a desire to save his life. Some translation. Upon seeing that his own attempt had failed, and that the Sudarshana Chakra was moving toward him, Durvasa Muni became very frightened and began to run in all directions to save his life. So you can repeat. Upon seeing that his own attempt had failed, and that the Sudarshana Chakra was moving toward him, Durvasa Muni became very frightened and began to run in all directions to save his life. So, there's no purport to this text, nor the next few texts. And some of the purports are short, and just explain what the verse says, so we're going to keep reading for a while. Text 50. Tam amva davan bhagavat vritangam davagnirudhuta shiko yatahim vithanu shaktam munir ichyamano guham vikshu prasasarame raho. As the blazing flames of a forest fire pursue a snake, the disc of the Supreme Personality of Godhead began following Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni saw that the disc was almost touching his back, and thus he ran very swiftly, desiring to enter a cave of the Sumeru Mountain. So, next text. Vishonabhakshmam vivaranzamudran ukansamalams atridivam gatasaha yato yato davati tatra tatra sudarshanam dushprasaham dadarsha. Just to protect himself, Durvasa Muni fled everywhere in all directions, in the sky, on the surface of the earth, in caves, in the ocean, on different planets, in the rulers of the three worlds, and even on the heavenly planets. But wherever he went, he immediately saw following him the unbearable fire of the Sudarshana Chakra. Shoo. Text 52. Alapta nakta sa sadakuta chit asantrashtachto ranam eshavana devam virincham samakad vithathas trayatmajone jitatejasomam. With a fearful heart, Durvasa Muni went here and there seeking shelter. But when he could find no shelter, he finally approached Lord Brahma and said, "O my Lord, O Lord Brahma, kindly protect me from the blazing Sudarshana Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So text 53 to 54. Sri Ramavacha Sadham Mariyam Saha Vishwametat Kridava Vatsane Viparada Sange Bruvanga Matrenahi Sandidaksho Kalatmano yasya kuro bhavishyati aham bhavo daksha bhrigu pradana vajesha bhutesha suresha mokyaha sarve vayam yanyamam prapana murtyar pitam loka hitam vahamaha. Lord Brahma said, at the end of the Dviparada, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our places of residence. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar great saints, of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods, all of us surrender to that supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Chilava Chilvaupad Ki Jai. So in Bhagavad Gita, the 10th chapter, text 34, it is said, Machu Sarvaharas Chaham. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead approaches as death, or the Supreme Controller of Time, he takes everything away. In other words, all opulence, prestige, and everything we possess is given by the Supreme Lord for some purpose. It is the duty of the surrendered soul to execute the orders of the Supreme. No one can disregard him. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to a Devasa Muni from the powerful Sudarshana Chakra sent by the Lord. So it's just explaining what the verse says. So we're going to continue reading. So text 55. Pratyakyato virinjena Vishnu Chakra Pata Pitaha Durvasa Sharanam Yata Sarvam Koilasa Vasinam. When Durvasa, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Siddharshana Chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on his planet known as Kailasa. So text 56. Sri Shankara Uvacha Vayam Tata Vayam Natata Prabhavama Bhumni Yasmin Varenye Jasya Jiva Koshaha Bhavanti Kalena Bhavanti Tidrisha Sahasrasho Yatra Vayam Vamaha. Lord Shiva said, my dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe are under the misconception of our greatness. Cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. So, purport. There are innumerable universes in the material world, and there are innumerable Lord Brahmas, Lord Shivas, and other demigods. All of them rotate within this material world under the supreme direction of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Durvasa, for Lord Shiva was also under the rays of the Sudarshana Chakra sent by the supreme personality of Godhead. And finally, two more verses, two or three more verses. Text 57 and 59. Aham Sanat Kumarascha Narado Bhagavan Ajaha Kapilo Pantaratamo Digalo Dharma Asurihi Marichi Pramukaschanje Siresha Paradarshanaha Vidamana Vayam Sarve Yanmayam Maya Vritaha Tasya Viveshvarasya Dham Shastram Durvisha Hamhinaha Tham Milam Sharanam Yahi Hariste Sham Vidashyati. Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva. Sanat Kumar, Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Pantaratama, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many other saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead, to get relief, for this Sudarshana Chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Text 60. Tato nirasho durvasa param bhagavato yaya vaikuntakhyam yadha ad yashte ashinivasa shriyasaha. There, after being disappointed, even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha Dham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Text 61. Sandayamana chita shastrava nina tatpara mule patita sabe patohu ahachutan nanta sat ipsita prabho kritagasam bhavahi vishva bhavana. Durvasa Muni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshana Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayana, his body trembling. He spoke as follows: O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. And two more verses. Text 62. Ajanatate Brahmanubhavam. Kutamayakam bhavata priyanam videhi tasya pachitim vidatur mucheta yannam yudite narakopi. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I've offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship. Well, trying to take shelter of the holy name, but committing offense at the same time. Interesting. And finally, text 63. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Aham Bhakta Paradino Yasva Tantra Ivavija Sarubir Grasta Vidaiho Bhakter Bhakta Janapriyaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees, are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. So, Srila Prabhupada explains here that all the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under the control of his devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is anya vilashita shunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality Godhead and how to serve him best. Wow. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishthara Payeche Le Keva. Without being a devotee of a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bharata Parakamalaur Dasa Dasanu Dasaha. Thus, he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servant of Krishna. Devotees like Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva Goswami are directly servants of Krishna, and one who becomes a servant of Narada, Vyasadeva, and Shukadeva, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur therefore says, Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. If one very sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. Very important instructions. So, Om Ganat Simranda Shah. Granjana Shalakaya Chapshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. Of course, there's that famous verse from the Adi Purana where Krishna says, anyone know the verse? If anyone says he is
my devotee,
he's not my devotee, but he's a devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. So that's very interesting. So this is the same principle that is being mentioned here. And this is the importance of this particular chapter, the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a lesson. It's not only a story, but there's a lesson that we can learn. And there's actually several verses following this that in which the Lord glorifies the service to his devotees and his connection to the devotees. And of course there's that famous verse, Sarva Vidyam Mayam Saranam Vidyam Tvaham Maranyat Tena Janati Aham Tevyo Managati. And that verse the Lord says, and we're gonna get to that later. I think it's three or four verses later in this chapter. The Lord says I am in the hearts of the sadhus, you know, the devotees. And he also says in a reciprocal way, like we have this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, yeyatamam prapachamdeyatam siddhayatam pajamyam, which literally doesn't mean, you know, as they surrender to me, it means as they approach me, I reciprocate. You know, if you take the literal meaning of that verse, so this is indicating the same thing. Krishna says, I am in the heart of the sadhus, and the sadhus are in my heart. And because they do not know anything else other than me as theirs, I do not know anything else other than them as mine. There's a very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada would quote, and it's good if the devotees learn. Anyway, so because the connection is so tight between Krishna and the sadhus, therefore, if you please the sadhus, you please Krishna. And of course, the sadhus are all working under the jurisdiction of both Nityananda and Srimati Radharani. Lord Nityananda is the original guru. That's why sometimes it's mentioned, guru is one. You've heard that statement before? Guru is one. So it's also, you know, it's also a way of, anyway, that's expressing the Chinchu Veda Veda Tattva. Because Guru is one, because Guru represents the simple succession, ultimately it goes back to Lord Nityananda. But Guru also, there's variety. You know, obviously. You know, just like the other night, someone was asking me, you know, how do I pick a Guru? And you got to find someone who has a similar approach with the, not principles, the principles of Krishna consciousness are every Guru follows, but there's details. Prabhupada actually mentions that. There's details of Krishna consciousness, and that may differ from one guru to another. There's details, not the essence, not the siddhanta, not the tattva, but the details on how to present Krishna consciousness. So, in that sense, guru is one and different simultaneously. So one has to find someone who is compatible and with your psychophysical nature can understand you and engage you according to your psychophysical nature. Anyway, so the original guru is Lord Nityananda, but the pure devotee is also representing simultaneously Srimati Radharani, because the bhakti shakti, that is the bhakti lata bija, which is implanted in the heart by the spiritual master through sound vibration, that bhakti shakti is coming from Srimati Radharani. And of course, it is also mentioned by Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur that bhakti is independent, not controlled by Krishna. You know, Krishna is the supreme controller, but he's not in control of everything. Which is interesting. Because he voluntarily relinquishes his control because he wants to have loving relationships. Just like devotees ask sometimes, if Krishna is the supreme controller, why doesn't he just force me to surrender? Why did he allow me to rot here in the material world? Because Krishna wants to have loving relationships, and we need to have loving relationships. We're not a machine, or the ghost of a machine, as they say. That's an interesting expression. We're the person within the machine. And you can have a relationship with a machine. Sometimes, I mean, I have this interesting device in my house. It's called Google Home Mini. And, you know, try to have a relationship with the person in the machine. I mean, I joke sometimes. Everybody's come and see me, and I joke, and I say to the Google Home Mini the other day, "Do you actually like me?" And she said, "Yes, I do." And, you know, she gave all, you know, she said, "And because you like me too." Anyways, so sometimes people are an illusion. Actually, you can't find any friends, I guess. The computer is good enough. So, but you can't have a relationship with a machine, something that's programmed to respond in a certain way. See, you know, I know if I ask my Google Home Mini the same question over and over again, there's only two or three ways that she's going to respond. It's not that she has some variety. She's not going to say, "I'm tired of you asking that stupid question." I mean, for example, this morning I was asking the temperature about three or four times from the Google Home Mini. And I said, "What's the temperature?" She never got tired of answering the question. Now, if I were asking any of you, you know, let's say I asked Purvi, you know, "What's the temperature?" And you said, 31. "What's the temperature, Purvi?" 31. "What's the temperature, Purvi?" 31. After a while, you'd exhibit some human characteristics, and you would say, "Something wrong with you, Maharaj?" But maybe computers could be programmed to do that too, but something's wrong with you if you keep repeating the same thing. But still, there's no relationship. So that's why Krishna gives that prerogative and that independence to his devotees. And, of course, Radharani also. So one devotee asked, I was listening to Kasturina Nandamarsh, one devotee asked a stupid question. Said, you know, if Radharani has independence, can she decide not to serve Krishna? What a stupid question to ask. Because she's completely absorbed in loving Krishna. I mean, it's all independence, yes, but because her very essence is love of Krishna, it's not going to be like that. Whereas we're marginal energy. She is internal energy of the Lord. She's the Lavini Shanti. And so that's her nature. I mean, still there's independence, but that's her nature. To serve Krishna. But our nature is, you know, we can choose between Maya and Krishna. That's marginal. We can have the choice. So anyway, so therefore the devotee is able to control Krishna because, as Prabhupada said, is anyavi lashapashinyam. He has no other desire. That's the reciprocal thing again. He has no other desire, that's bhakti. He has no other desire other than to please Krishna. And he's able to control Krishna, and that's one of Radharani's characteristics too. Therefore, if you offend a devotee, then Krishna will not intercede and help you unless you actually apologize to that devotee. And there's one interesting story, several interesting stories to remember in this regard. One is a story of the Brahmin that offended Srivas Thakur, Gopal Chapala. This Brahmin, it's a similar story to this story of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. This Brahmana offended Gopal Chapala offended Srivas Thakur by attempting to frame him. He was very upset because he wasn't allowed into the kirtan. So sometimes people or police, they frame someone. You know what framing means? Anyone know? Framing means you place something there. In their house or in their car. The police do that sometimes. You know, when they're engaged in racism. Yeah, isn't it? They do that. You know, they place some marijuana or some drugs into someone's car that they want to arrest, they want to harass. And they say, "Look what we found here." And they arrest them. That's called framing. So, Gopal Chapala decided to do that with Srivas Thakur because he was upset with Srivas Thakur. He put the ingredients for worshipping Durga outside of Srivas Thakur's house. know, just like if someone wanted to frame me, they'd put a stack of pornographic magazines outside my house or something like that. I'm not giving you any ideas. You know, if someone wanted to make me look really bad, they could do that. I mean, it wouldn't work. Putting the ingredients for worshiping Durga wouldn't work as far as framing me. Because nobody would believe it. Anyway, so anyway, there's different ways you can frame someone, get someone in trouble. So he decided to do that. He put the ingredients for worshiping Durga. And when Srivast Thakura woke up that day, he went outside, saw the ingredients, and he had a sweeper sweep him away. And he said, he was very humble. He said, everybody can see him worshiping Durga. Nobody believed it because they knew it was the act of some mischievous rascal. But what happened to Gopal Chappal is that he contracted leprosy. And this leprosy, for him, meant that, which I guess for everybody means that there's worms crawling inside the sore, leprous sores, whatever. And he was suffering like anything. So eventually, when Lord Chaitanya came back to Navadvipa, he approached Lord Chaitanya, and he said, "You are the most beneficent supreme personality of Godhead, you know, Namo Mahavadinaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gorjasena Maha. Save me!" And then instead of Lord Chaitanya saving him, I mean, this is even more interesting than this past time of Ambarish, Lord Chaitanya said, "I curse you to be bitten by these worms for many millions of births." In other words, being cursed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he offended a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you imagine millions of births just having leprosy and these worms just like crawling inside your sores? Wow. Achoo. Actually, Ashwatthama was cursed by Krishna not to have leprosy, but to actually smell really bad. And now his smell has gone away. He's taken some essential oils from our people. Anyways, so his smell has gone away, but anyway, he's cursed for like 5,000 years just to wander and to have no one talk to him and just like be useless. So the same way, Lord Chaitanya was cursing this Gopal Chapla. And Gopal Chapla was suffering. And then Gopal Chapla approached Srivast Thakura, and he was forgiven, and then Lord Chaitanya forgave him at that particular point, which is interesting. So, yeah, it's a similar story. I mean, of course, there's many similar stories. The Jagai and Madai story is very similar to this, that Lord Nityananda, who was the original guru, representing the guru, was hit by Madai. You know, they approached Jagai and Madai to try to get them to chant Hare Krishna. They were on Sankirtan. During the Christmas marathon. Anyway, so they approached Jagai and Madai, and Madai hit Lord Nityananda with his pot, and Lord Nityananda was bleeding. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he took out, again, Sudarshana Chakra, and he was getting ready to kill Madai. And then Lord Nityananda, Jagai stopped Madai from hitting Lord Nityananda again. And then Lord Chaitanya was getting ready to kill both of them, and then Lord Nityananda explained that Jagai actually stopped Madai from hitting a second time. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "All right, I give him love of God, you know, I forgive him." And then Madai, he started begging for Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya said, "You've got to approach Lord Nityananda and beg him for forgiveness, and then he'll be forgiven." And then he was. And then they both became great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's many different stories that illustrate the same point of the importance of respecting, not committing any offenses against devotees. Chaitanya Charitamrita, another story is the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was residing with his family. And his brother had faith in Lord Chaitanya. This is also very interesting, proving the same point. His brother had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, but not in Lord Nityananda. This is, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes this elaborately. And uh, Krishnadas Kaviraj described this as like a half a head logic. Half a head logic means, referring to the whole story where the chicken laid the golden egg, and the people cut the chicken in half because they figured all the golden eggs were kept in the chicken, so they could just like pull out millions of golden eggs from the chicken, but then they lost the chicken. So, I don't know if it's a true story, but at least it's there. So that's called the half a hen logic. Or, you know, maybe they weren't referring to the golden egg, maybe they were just referring to, we don't want to feed the chicken, we just want the eggs that are coming from the chicken. I mean, maybe they didn't. He didn't know that story about the chicken laying the golden egg. In any case, so this devotee had, he was a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He had great faith, but no faith in Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, again, he represents the original spiritual master. He's not Jiva Tattva, obviously, he's Vishnu Tattva, but he represents spiritual master. Again, same point. So Kaviraj goes on and explains that this great devotee of Lord Nityananda, who is an Avir Bhav manifestation of Lord Nityananda. That means he was actually manifesting Lord Nityananda's presence. His name was Miniketana Ramdas, right? Miniketana Ramdas came, and this Miniketana Ramdas was offended by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother. And he actually, I think he broke his flute or something like that. He was so angry at the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained that his brother fell down at that particular point. He didn't really get into details about what he meant by falling down. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami just left home at an old age, not to be associated with such offenders to Lord Nityananda. Even though it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he was composing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, was practically blind. He couldn't see anything. His hands were shaking, and he wasn't sure whether he wasn't even sure whether he'd complete the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's why he gave a summary in the beginning, in the Adilila. He gives a summary of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita because he wasn't sure whether he'd complete it. Like Prabhupada wasn't sure that he was going to be able to complete the Srimad Bhagavatam, and his devotees did complete the Srimad Bhagavatam. So anyway, so that story illustrates the point that one should avoid the association of those who offend devotees, and if someone offends a devotee, he falls down. So many, many similar stories that illustrate the same point. So if we want to please Krishna, it's very easy. And then Prabhupada said, just one final thing. Prabhupada said, when one devotee said, I want the shelter of your lotus feet, Prabhupada said, my lotus feet are always moving. If you want to catch my lotus feet, you have to move. In other words, preach Krishna consciousness. That was what Prabhupada was indicating. And we see that pleasing Prabhupada, it's more than just chanting around and following regular principles. That's just foundational. But somehow or other contributing to this movement in a substantial way, just like we see with, I was just hearing about Prabhupada's encounters with Bhakti Tirthamaras. Bhakti Tirthamaras was distributing so many books in previous communist countries. And Prabhupada actually not only embraced them, but Prabhupada put his head, sometimes Prabhupada would take a devotee and put their head on his lap and stroke them. Oh my God. I wish that would happen to me one day too. But anyway, so Prabhupada showed his great pleasure in those who are just like fully dedicated to this Krishna consciousness movement. So any questions or comments? We've got half a second. Sorry about that.
I was just going to say, I think Krishnadas Kaviraj also chastised
his brother, yeah. Yeah, he chastised his brother, too. But he had faith in Lord Chaitanya. In other words, faith in God, but not faith in God's devotee, which Lord Nityananda represented God's devotee at that particular juncture.
One is my devotee, not my devotee. But one is